Well, good. Let me see. Good morning. No. Afternoon. Let me see. Yeah, just afternoon. Hi, folks. This is it. You know, I confuse you with all the different times. Andy Kimball here of the Andy. Hello, Amanda. Good evening. It's 8 o'clock there in the evening. It's afternoon here. Greetings to all of our listeners around the world in all 15 countries where we have followers and listeners. We want to welcome everybody on board this afternoon on the Andy and Amanda program. We have a fun show today. We're going to cover a lot of news. We have some special guests, including we're going to try to see if we can do this. As you know, Amanda, I think it was the last show or the one before I've mentioned that we're going to try to reach out and go to where the powers might be and see if we can contact the former president, Richard Milhouse Nixon. And and we're going to, you know, we have a clip of our efforts in attempting to do that. And we're going to try and we'll do, you know, we'll see if we can play that. If we can find that clip, if they allow us, we're going to reach out and contact the former president, Nixon, to get some of his reflections on what is occurring in the world, what has occurred in the previous election on Donald Trump, and a few other things. But we're going to see if we can make that happen during this show. So don't go anywhere, folks. Keep your dial tuned right here on the Andy and Amanda program. It's Friday, March 5th on the Freaky Friday. What do we call it?
Freaky Friday, baby. Yeah.
All that good stuff, you know. So how you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Let me look. Yep,
what?
I'm here.
What? You need to look? What's going on, Andy? Oh, it's a sensitive subject. Okay, that's fine. We can bypass that.
Yes, you know, we have a guest coming on board a bit later in the show. We have actor by the name of Olivia Baskett, who's going to be joining us and talking about her career and what she's been doing and some of the movies she's been in, what's it like to be on set, and all these fun things that we've been talking a lot about in various episodes of the Andy and Amanda show. It's always a fun conversation to talk about Hollywood, the film business, television, the music business, all that stuff, modeling, not modeling, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I don't do much modeling, in all honesty. You know, I model in the bathroom, you know, in front of the mirror to see how good I look for the day. That's about it, really.
Well, you know, I keep bringing this up, but, you know, I was going to do a modeling session in the mankini that you made me buy, but I took one look at it, as you know.
Yes. I
felt embarrassed even in front of myself to try to put that on, so.
The Antkini. Darling. I would feel just as bad. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I looked at the piece of string and it just didn't seem to become me in my own mind. I could be wrong. No. You know.
It's great for flossing, I hear. You know, you can floss with it. That's useful, right?
Absolutely. you know what they say. You know what they say.
I do.
What do they say? I always try to figure out who they are. You know, well, that's what they say. Well, you know what they say. Has anybody ever correctly identified who they are?
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like a secret society. I would love to know too, Andy, in all fairness.
Mm.
I think we should try and find out who they are.
These are the kind of things I think about.
Yeah. You're a deep thinker, like myself. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, say, Andy, what's on your mind? Yeah, I'm like, who they are? And they're like, what? Who? You know, they. Who are they?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Yeah.
I
think they're good questions to ask. I think they're healthy questions to ask. That brain ticking a little, you know.
I have an excuse that I think is the correct assumption.
Men sometimes don't know what to say.
It will be a woman.
They're much better. Expressing than men. Yeah.
Well, you know, I still have trouble expressing myself, Andy. So I'm probably one of the many women who are not good at expressing themselves very well. I think we've got evidence on the shows, previous shows. Amanda tries to explain the news and other things about herself, and she's like,
you know?
Yes.
Yes. You explain the news so well, though. You do such a fine job.
I try, sweetheart. I try. You know, I guess we all do. We all have our moments, and that's what makes us human.
You live in the suburb. You live a couple hours. We're talking to Amanda Love, by the way, folks. And for those of you who didn't know, I'm in the United States. Amanda is in the UK. This is our 260-some-month show. I don't know, whatever it is. We have never met. And our show coordinator, who coupled the two of us.
Yes.
I like the way that sounds. Coupled the two of us. three of us have never met.
My internet husband.
Yes. Yes, my internet wife. I refer to you. Yes, my internet wife. But you're in the suburbs of London. Is that would that be correct? Kind of correct assessment, like you're in a suburban area.
I am in a suburban area. Yes, it's not
because
suburban women love me. Please love me.
I don't know.
Oh, Trump. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah, that's she's just reaching out a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit, but yeah, you're about 2 hours outside of London, and you're Hollywood, California. Where it's a beautiful sunny day today, gorgeous day, another beautiful day in Southern California, Hollywood.
Oh, beautiful. I'm jealous. It's still gray here, Andy. Gray and cold. What's going on?
Oh, man. That's going to change.
I'm relying on the sunshine in my heart to see me through.
It could take, my assessment, the one time I was in London, it just takes a really... I mean, it was just rainy and gray, but I had a great time. But I was wondering, I asked, how long does it take, and how do you survive in that environment when it's like cold and rainy every day? And I asked the question.
This takes years and years and years.
Yeah, I was like.
Oh, my God, I love those clips.
Hey, Amanda, what's going on in your neck of the world?
I will share with you, my darling. So let's start with COVID because, yes, it's always there. So on the last show, I talked about six people here in the UK having the Brazilian coronavirus variant and how one of those six people hadn't been located. Well, panic is over. They've now located and made contact with that person. And as of yet, no location has been publicly given out. Their contacts have been traced. So they're making great progress with this. Again, there are concerns over the effectiveness of the current vaccine that we have with this new variant. But as I mentioned last time, they have said that the vaccines can be altered fairly easily. And I do believe they are working on that as we speak. And the government are also facing a court case here in the UK regarding the contracts for coronavirus. So what happens is the government make all these deals with private companies to source us with like the protective equipment for the pandemic and everything like that. So the House Secretary, Matt Hancock, he's under fire for not publishing details on these contracts within 30 days of them being signed, which is an illegal thing. So, many were pre-approved due to the urgency of the pandemic, which is understandable, so we'll see where that goes. The other thing making news is Meghan Markle, and I'm sure it's news there in the US as well, with her also being under fire about Buckingham Palace officially investigating claims made by members of staff being bullied by Meghan whilst being an active royal here in the UK, supposedly driving out two personal assistants. The claim was leaked in an email which was reported by the Times newspaper in the UK, after which the claim was taken seriously by Buckingham Palace and actions to resolve this have been made. So Meghan is reported to have responded to these claims feeling saddened on this latest attack on her character. I do feel for her because the press over here have been savage with Harry and Meghan, and I don't agree with all the abuse that was thrown around in all the tabloids and made their life a living hell. So I'm not...
Well,
they're doing it. They've already announced they're going to do it.
I know, right? I'm not surprised they ended up moving to California to get away from it all for mental health reasons. And, as Harry said in the video with James Corden, that he had to do the right thing for his family. So I admire them both for having the courage to step away from all that and do the right thing.
That means they can do anything they want.
Yes. Apparently so, and she's going to explain all that on an Oprah Winfrey show, I believe, on Sunday, which should be an interesting watch, alongside Prince Harry. So
yeah.
I hear there's about 17 other countries that have applied to air rights for that. That
wow.
shows that. Yeah,
wow.
I know, right? That's
wow.
a big thing. Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that.
Yes.
That's fabulous.
Prince Philip, he seems to be making some small progress as well. It was reported
I'm glad
that
to hear
he's,
that. He's what would you say last show? He was
99.
Yeah, I thought so. My
yeah.
goodness. And he had a heart procedure of some sort that wasn't defined. I'm sure nothing too traumatic or invasive at his age, but he had some type of a heart procedure done and is recovering from that. And
yes.
boy, 99 years old, you gotta wish him all the best. And man, that's just it's good for him. You know, hope he gets out of there and goes another 10 years or whatever it might be. And
I hope so.
That he's hanging in and he's so well adorned by so many.
We've got also a formal investigation underway due to one of our Labour Party councillors named Jamila Azad, claiming on social media to have had a vaccine by a private care doctor when the government has said that vaccines are only having this supposed vaccine from a private doctor and then saying they were going for a takeaway afterwards. And so that didn't go down very well. And so she's taken it off Facebook and, yeah, unfortunately she's been suspended. But, you know, it's going against the law to have it done by a private doctor. It should only be given out by the NHS. So there's a lot of concern about that. So, yeah, an investigation is underway. So we should see what happens there as well. So that's, that's some bit of useful information from the UK, I guess, depending on how you want to perceive that. It could be useful to you. It could be not. You might think, what a load of crap. I don't know.
I think what you just said is very important.
Yeah, very.
Thank you. I think.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, very important.
You do your best to pick out the things, you know.
You know, here, there's always exciting things going on here with, now we have Chris is the commentator on CNN, that's his brother, Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, allegations about harassment and, you know, inappropriate sexual conversation and hiding the number of people that actually died in nursing homes because it's now alleged that, what his former aides have come out and said in a recently released report is that during the pandemic when the governor Cuomo was...
Yeah.
on television almost nightly, was commanding more authority and more respect than the President of the United States in his handling of the coronavirus in the state of New York, that he said, well, look, if somebody in a nursing home gets infected with coronavirus, goes to a hospital, has been infected, then they absolutely, by law, must be readmitted back to the nursing home. And,
right.
And many, many, many more people passed away. Many more people died in those nursing homes than he reported at the time. I mean, a significant number more.
Wow.
Degrade the mortality rate of the
yeah.
COVID virus in that population. We'll see what happens. I mean, he was, you know, I kind of feel a couple ways about it. I kind of feel regarding... This is just me. You know, I run businesses before and communications and had a lot of employees and I had amazing relationships with my employees. No, don't take that the wrong way.
I wasn't Andy, I swear.
Just friends, you know, friends. And after a while, you're pal, you go out happy hours together and drink. And
yeah.
and some we had, you know, you kind of, you know, guy, girl, especially you single at the time and you're out and you're hanging out. You're in the office all the time and you flirt back and forth and say things. I would, if this were, God, if my friends who were employees, my colleagues, but they were employees, but we were all friends. You know, I didn't even call them employees. You know, you couldn't do this without, in my opinion, when you run a business and you bring people on, you can't do it without them. They are the key. They are what makes it happen. They are the front line. You couldn't run your operation without them. And I worked for them because I had to sign their paychecks a week to make sure they did the best job they could and make them all happy or else I couldn't own my business. So,
yeah.
You know, they weren't employees and you'll do what I say. I mean, here's what we do. Here's what our company does. And here's we're all on this mission together. We're all on this team together. And we're all, and most of the time it works out really well. But if some of those conversations could have been recorded that we had back then, you know, when you could say things back and forth and have some fun. And I know you're kidding. You know you're kidding, you know. You couldn't do that today.
Yes.
And to a point, you know, or if a girl says something to a guy, and in my case, it was more, believe me, you know me, but it was not me as much as a girl saying something to me that may have been interpreted as, hey, you know, hey, that was inappropriate.
Yes.
Hey, you know, I would have been in the headline news. I would have been fired. My business would have been closed down. But, it's almost, I'm not giving a pass. I'm not saying it's okay to be inappropriate. Believe me, I am not. I just wonder where, at what point, I don't know, if somebody says something inappropriate to me, I say, I don't appreciate that. That's not okay. And then they know it's not okay, and please don't do that anymore. Okay, all right. I know where to draw the line. I don't have permission to go there to say that. I won't do that again, and I apologize. Because I didn't mean it that way. And you know, wouldn't that be okay with you, or no?
Well, yeah, it would. Obviously, it depends in the context of what was said, obviously. We're living in a time now where everything is so much more focused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is pushed onto social media now, and the whole universe exists online. And because of that, the whole focus is online. And of course, there's things building with sensitivity and people abusing each other. And it seems everyone's level of sensitivity is increasing. And it's understandable considering the direction the world is going in right now. Obviously, but I think we're getting to the point where we're reaching extremes in so many cases, and it's hard now to separate what is valid. I mean, everybody's truth is valid, but what I'm saying is it's hard to separate the fact from the fiction, where everybody's kind of jumping on the same boat and saying, okay, well, this change is coming to effect, now we need to push a little more. I mean, give an example. There's the whole politically correct way of expressing a snowman, and I say that it should be called a snow woman. You know, I was always raised to call it a snowman. I don't see any offense in calling this thing that we're building with snow into a snowman.
Yeah.
Hell, make it a woman, a clown, whatever you want to make it. That's totally cool.
I'm a very liberal, very, very progressive thinking guy. I am, and I understand, and I'm all for, I've got two daughters that are just very, you know, the younger daughter is very on the cause of gender identification and they versus he, she, you know, they is appropriate, blah, blah, blah. And I it's fun to tease her about that, but you know, jokingly, but I've had like people, you know, say things to me in the past, which might be interpreted differently today. For example, here's one.
You absolutely, if you play golf, if you play tennis or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Like an employee comes up to you and says that. You know what I mean? What do you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
say, you know what?
Yeah.
They say, Andy, you know, you've been, seems like you've been under a lot of whatever lately. And, you know, it's just, you know.
No time for sex.
That's right. You know what I'm saying?
I don't. I mean, I wouldn't take offense if somebody came up to me and said that, you know, in a really like friendly kind of way. You know, I've seen your struggle. I can see how tense you are. Maybe it's a good idea that, you know, you connect more with your partner. You know, make that special time. You know, I wouldn't be offended by that at all.
Hey, we're gonna take a quick message break here from our friends over Kona Beer, which I buy cases of at Total Wine and keep my refrigerator stocked. And then we're going to we're going to see if we can contact Richard Nixon, and we're going to bring Olivia Baskett on the show. So you don't want to miss that, folks. Hang in with us. We'll be right back after this message.
Dear Mainland, aloha. My brother and I know all about your to-do list, but have you also considered making a to-don't list? Like don't forget hang time with your ohana. Don't forget to step outside every now and then. And don't forget the big wave golden ale. So maybe you make a to-don't list today, yeah?
Put it on your to-do list.
Good one, brother. One life, right? Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
I'm here. I'm here. I was talking to myself.
Oh, okay.
My apologies. But I'm back. But anyway, I was just saying that I was... every time I go to Total Wine, which is I heard Cornell, our show coordinator, told me that they've got one there and where he is on the East Coast. And I didn't know that. I discovered it here in California. But anyway, I can live there. Every time I go to the back with the refrigerated section where you get the cold 12 packs of beer, and I look at all the various beers I could get, and I keep going back to Kona beer. I keep, you know, it's my refrigerator's always stocked with the variety pack. There's so it's a great, great beer, Kona beer, folks. And and we have nothing. And believe me, we encourage people to try Kona beer, not because we play their messages on this show, but because we truly think it's a great beer. There's a lot of good beers out there, but definitely try Kona. Hey, we're going to try something here if we can do it. We're going to make an attempt. We're going to make an attempt to try to reach out. What time is it here? Okay, we got okay, 23, 24 right now. We should be able to do it. We're going to try to reach out and contact the former president of the United States of America, Richard Nixon. We're going to try to do this and see if I can get a couple words in. And let me see if I can tap Donald Trump in here somewhere, bring him into the conversation. Okay, let's cross your fingers, Amanda. I'm not sure if this is going to work or not. We're going to give
okay, I'll concentrate real hard.
Cut. Focus.
Hey, I'm focusing. Oh.
Anything yet?
No, it's not coming through very strong, Andy.
We are trying to contact the former president of the United States, Richard Milhouse Nixon. Calling Mr. Richard Nixon, former president of the United States. Come in. Come in, Mr. Nixon. Mr. President, join the Andy and Amanda program.
Entering. We've been expecting you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in contact with you, and welcome to the Andy and Amanda show. We're looking for former President Richard Nixon. Let's bring in Mr. Donald Trump. Richard Nixon, I think I'm feeling your presence. I'm feeling your presence. We're going to start this conversation with Donald Trump. Thank you, Mr. President, for joining us.
Donald Trump may be the greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
He is the best politician. He's gregarious. He loves it. He's warm.
Could I ask you, Lou, when you say the greatest, does that include Abraham Lincoln and George Washington?
Edward Kennedy was the best politician of the three.
And if I get in here just for a minute, Mr. President, Andy here from the Andy Amanda Show, what do you think it is about Donald Trump that makes him rally all these folks the way he does?
It makes him appear like a goddamn animal.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. Do you agree with his assessment that he, in fact, was the greatest president maybe of all time?
There's no question in my mind, the three greatest politicians, active politicians, were Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson. Nobody else of the presidents was in their league as political operators.
And thank you. If I get in here just with one more question during this segment, Mr. President, if you'd be so kind. I know you probably have a busy schedule. What is it, do you think, that was in Donald Trump's mind that created the impression to him that he'd be able to get away with inciting the mob on January 6th at the Capitol?
He believes that people that are subordinates carry out what the chief wants.
Okay, and do you see this as a positive characteristic of a president of the United States?
Listen, I don't want a president who's warm on the outside and warm on the inside, too.
And what do you think Donald Trump thought that Mike Pence's role might have been during the ceremonial counting and officiating of the Electoral College ballots on January 6th during the congressional session?
A vice president, a member of the cabinet, a member of Congress who is a member of the president's party, he should always consider that he is dispensable and should do what the man wants to carry out the policy. Because otherwise, the man's got to get down there in the ring. What happened to Richard Nixon when Eisenhower was president? Be bad for me. Wouldn't matter that much, maybe, to the country. What happened to him could be disastrous.
Well, thank you very much, former President Richard Nixon, for joining us. Our gracious appreciation for your appearance on the Andy and Amanda program this afternoon. And we look forward to connecting with you and speaking with you to get your assessments on what's going on in the world again in the near future.
I think the record should show that this is one of those spontaneous things that we always arrange whenever the president comes in to speak. And it will be so reported in the press, and we don't mind, because they've got to call it as they see it. But on our part, believe me, it is spontaneous. You are here.
I am here, also joined by my co-host, Amanda Love in the UK. Thank you. Yes, we are here.
To say goodbye to us. And we don't have a good word for it in English. We'll see you again. And I want you to tell this to your children. And I hope the nation's children will hear it too.
Thank you very much for those wishes, Mr. President. And yes, our radio show as a podcast is being distributed around the world on various channels. We're doing our best. And we'll look forward to reaching out to you again real soon. Thanks again, Mr. President, and good day. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
A conversation.
That was powerful.
My goodness. A conversation with the former president. We tried to reach out, I know, we at no avail, and failed to contact Elvis a while back.
Yeah.
And please don't say Elvis. And, oh, man, I almost hit that button. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Caught in a trap.
No.
Hey, so we're going to we have a special guest with us today.
Yes.
I can hit the right button here. You know, I'm fumbling around all these switches and boards and keys and mouses and all that stuff. We have a very special guest with us joining the Andy and Amanda Freaky Friday Free Flowing, whatever this day is called. Her name is Olivia Baskett. Olivia, are you with us on the Andy and Amanda show?
Yes.
Hey.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi. Hello.
Oh, my goodness, it's so good to put a voice to the name.
Yes, it is so nice to hear you.
Oh, thank you. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Absolute pleasure, is it, Andy?
It is. Olivia, it is a pleasure. I've heard a lot about you, and I've seen some of your bio.
Thank
and
you.
You've been doing some film work, and you're from and living in the Philadelphia area, am I right, or...
So a lot of my work is in the Philadelphia area. I went to school there for a little bit, but I am on the East Coast, but I currently live in like the Lehigh Valley area. So it's just about an hour away from Philadelphia, not too far.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
City of brotherly love. Yes.
I don't know
yes.
much
yeah.
about Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so, yeah. It's a great area.
Olivia, we've talked on the show off and on. As a matter of fact, the way, in a nutshell, this show was originally a kind of an idea that a guy I knew by the name of Lloyd Booker. I don't know if you know Lloyd or not. Back, mm-hmm. he's an actor, does a lot of work in Philadelphia, and we met on mm-hmm. set doing a pilot in Philadelphia.
Oh wow! Neat.
That depicted the entire business of how and why and what does it take mm-hmm. for one to become successful in the acting business, in the entire industry,
yeah.
as seen through the eyes of an emerging actor just out of the gate. How does it all work? What, you know, could have been a school. Here's how you do that, folks. And here's what goes on behind the scenes. But we made a kind of almost like How I Met Your Mother, Seinfeld, mm-hmm. Malcolm in the Middle kind of show, that kind of program. And just
right.
turned what could have been a school into a television episodic about the acting business. And that's how Lloyd and I met on the set of that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became friends and started, you know, talking about different ideas. And, you know, fast forward, the show evolved and Cornell came into the scene and Cornell introduced
yeah.
Amanda and I. And 200 and some odd episodes later, here's the Andy and Amanda show, but the whole show came to be as a result of people meeting on the set in a TV show.
Yeah, isn't that something? I met Cornell through the film I did, Hollywood. So it's so interesting how this is all coming together now.
Yes,
It is. And we've had you know, Mark Lester on the show. He's going to be joining us again later in the month, who played the part of Oliver. You remember the movie Oliver, the 68
nice.
Film? So?
Oh, no, I don't think I've seen that. Not yet.
Oh, Oliver's a you got to see Oliver. Oh, my God. It is amazing.
I'll watch it. I'll put it on my list.
Please
do. It's one of those old school movies, sweetheart. You know that I was because I'm a lot older than you. I'm ashamed to say. Sorry, but. And so I grew up watching it. Andy's background, you know, he watched it and so many times, like myself. And yeah, he was this child star in that movie. And we were both like, we were talking about it, saying, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to get Mark Lester on the show? And yeah, he blessed us with his presence. And it was amazing, wasn't it, Andy? It's just incredible.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
We were very excited. It was great. So, Olivia, tell us about what you're doing, about the movies you've done, and what's happening in your life, and catch us up.
Yeah. So, with now with things as far as COVID goes, it's been kind of hard as far as maintaining projects and just the whole acting world right now. It's a little difficult with the pandemic coming in. But so I had a film I was working on, Mulatto. Tony Devin's in that, Catalina Ariel, Tim Durham film. Really, really great movie. We had to put that on hold due to COVID, but we will be filming it this month. So we're getting back into filming, which is exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. So you guys will have to look at that.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a great, great film. So I'm working on that currently, and then so I'm on a TV show called Recipes for Love. It's written by Teresa Warwick. Tony Devin is in that as well. He plays my father. He's an amazing actor. I'm not sure if you've heard of him, but Cornell knows of him. He's great.
Yeah.
He worked on Hollywood as well. Yeah, so we're currently working on that. We finished, the pilot's done, and we did the first official episode of Recipes for Love. So that'll be airing very soon. Yeah, it's so exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Aww.
So far, that's what I have in the works, though. You know, as COVID is kind of passing through the world, I mean, some stuff is on hold, but we're going to get back into it, and everybody's just trying to stay positive and stay afloat with the work industry right now.
You have to. Hey, Olivia, we have somebody online who wants to say hello to you.
Oh, sure.
Hello? No,
hey,
it's not,
how
I mean,
you
I
doing?
Always want to say hello to you, but it's not.
Oh, definitely. What's
hey.
Up, guys?
Hey, darling.
Hey. How you doing, boy? What's up?
Oh,
hey,
I think
Olivia.
I recognize this voice. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm good.
We have to stop
oh
meeting
my
like
gosh,
this.
Of course.
Yeah. What did Andy say?
We have to stop meeting like this.
Definitely, man. Please.
What I say is what I say.
Yes. Woman, man.
Thank you, Trump.
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah.
So, Olivia, how are you doing?
I'm so good. How are you? It's nice to hear you.
Oh, I'm truly great. I'm maintaining, you know, day to day, living life.
Right. Oh, my gosh, of course. How have things been since Hollywood? All of that.
Well, actually, I've been.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should ask China.
Yeah. Come on, Canal.
Well, actually, this is what I'm doing. I'm you know, with the Andy and Amanda show, a great show that, you know, I've been doing other things, but this is like my passion right here. And, you know,
that's amazing.
I love being around these guys, even though they get on my nerves, but I love them.
Hey, what's this? I remember that one.
I have been expecting you.
Yes. Definitely. I don't want to interrupt your interview and everybody, guys. I got to go. Olivia, thanks for coming on the show.
Of course, Andy and Amanda.
Yes, darling.
You're welcome.
Well, you know.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Hi, I'll be catching up with you and bugging you later then, Cornell, all right? You know, seeing as we're annoying
you. You know, like,
as soon as
they're going to be like, tick, 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 tick. No, I'm just joking.
Okay. Andy,
miss you, man.
I miss you, too.
Aw.
I miss you, too.
Tick, tock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know
Olivia,
how you changed that very
lying.
Quickly.
That means he's lying, Olivia. Well, guys, I gotta go. Take care. Have a good one. Enjoy.
All right, sweetheart.
Bye. Good to see you.
Talk later, Cornell. Thanks for joining
us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Of course. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Aw. He's so sweet.
Oh, that was great.
That was a Cornell Butler, folks, who put this whole show together. And,
absolutely. Yeah, he's good.
He hates to be called our boss, but he kind of is.
Yeah.
He keeps us in check, you know, make sure we're doing our job properly. Yes. And we actually annoy him, so that's great.
So, Olivia, tell us what parts do you play? What parts do you they sometimes they say people can get typecast into playing specific roles.
Yeah.
And then there's actors that say, well, the character actors, and they'll just go over the board. One day they're doing a comedy, the next day they're doing this detective, and they play the detective. The next film they're actually playing the bad guy in the detective film, and the next film they're So where do you see yourself in terms of what you like to do, as opposed to maybe what you've been doing, or where do you want to go? So give us like a background of what roles when you went into the business and you've actually done film work, you've been in movies, you've been on set, the roles that you got and the roles that you got. Where do you see yourself going? What do you like to do? Are there the roles you can really get a grip on and portray those characters, as opposed to what in your head, where you really want to go in this biz?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I first started off in the film industry. I was usually typecast from the age of, usually the teenage age to the early adult. So I've been playing like 16-year-olds through early 20s. So I usually play somewhere like in a family kind of show or movie. I usually end up playing the daughter. So play, like the daughter role in the family. Yeah, I love it. I love working on like family type TV shows and movies. I think it's great. Full House was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Oh, nice.
So
wow.
I love being able to work on a show that's like that now and kind of portrays the same thing.
Yeah.
But for as far as schooling, so I actually went to school for theater my entire life. So I grew up doing roles of various sorts. So I've done, you know, a lot of theatrical work like Pantalone, all that like stock character stuff. But I've played, you know, different roles. Like, yeah, I actually did a short film recently where I was a detective. And then I'm working on the film now where I'm playing, you know, a 16-year-old girl. And then I'm working on another film where I'm playing like an agent who is like a head of a dance company. So right now, luckily, I've been blessed that my work is, you know, it has variation. And I think that's great. It's what I love. I love being able to play different characters. And I love the variety of the acting work. It's my favorite thing. Sometimes when I go into auditions, I never even know what I'm, you know, auditioning for, and it'll just be something different out of my realm, and I love that.
Wow,
it's a passion.
That's so
cool. I get that. Do you know? Do you feel like one day you're playing a detective and you're then doing something else? When how does one as an actor dive into the effective portrayal of somebody who you're not? How does the process happen?
Right.
How does that work?
So for me personally, I usually just try to, a lot of how I was at least trained for film was kind of going off of just raw emotion. So usually when I'm on a set or I'm in a rehearsal, I would try to use, you know, any kind of past experiences or just life experiences to try and, you know, dive deep into that character. So for example, with the TV show Recipes for Love, I'm playing a daughter who's in the family. I have my own story. I'm going through I'm getting a boyfriend and I'm, you know, arguing with my dad because of my boyfriend. So it's real life scenarios like that have happened to me that I've kind of like channeled into all of my work and those experiences. I know a lot of actors do the method acting, which is as far as the rehearsals go for, you know, their roles, they would actually put themselves in that kind of specific state, like in the real life. Like if they were an agent, they would go out in the world just on their daily life and, you know, look for clues anywhere or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of actors will do that. And I think it's great. For me, I personally build off of just raw emotion and, you know, what I kind of think will be that way for a certain character, you know, playing all sorts of characters. It's so different trying to get into all these different, you know, kind of roles, but
I like the business from this perspective, in that when I had this role, which is on hold now for other reasons outside of COVID, but the production it's still there, but on a hiatus right now, but hopefully we'll dive back into it soon. But I play a character in this where I have a live-in girlfriend. You know, I play this musician actor, somewhat like who I am, you know, and I play this character and in the show, I have a very artsy, you know, a girlfriend who's actually in Philadelphia, who is a manager, I believe she is, at her day gig of, what's a restaurant called? Chickies and Pete's. I don't know if you know Chickies and Pete's in Philadelphia.
I do know Chickies and Pete's.
Well, there you go. So she's at Chickies and Pete's. And real quick, this whole film begins where, you know, I'm a background actor and we're on set and this James Bond movie kind of thing is wrapping. And I met a couple of background actors who I am a background actor too in this thing. And I've been doing a lot and they're brand new. And I say, hey, you know, I'm going to go to Chickies and Pete's and, you know, my girlfriend's there and hang out and have a couple of beers. Like, you join me. And they meet me there. And then my girlfriend, who's actually a wannabe artist and a sculptor and painter and guitar player, kind of enters the picture, very artsy kind of person. But here's the kind of fun thing that I like about the entire process, as opposed to just doing the TV show, in that 160 people submitted to be my live-in girlfriend. I'm like, that doesn't get any better. You know, imagine that in real life. Who needs Match.com? Just go ahead and be in a movie.
Forget Tinder.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
At 160 women. I'm like, yeah, whoa. What for?
Lucky guy.
Andy. Oh, my goodness. You know? And, so the heck with a TV show.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm okay. Actually a very modest person in real life. I'm very, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask my wife. Whenever I came home from traveling, I get in the cab, and before I want to go home, I ask the cab driver to take me where the action is. They end up picking me in my house anyway.
I'm sure your wife is happy to hear that.
one time I came home, there's a guy running down the street in his underwear, and I pulled over to the side and said, hey, mister, why are you running down the street in your underwear? He said, because you came home early. Anyway.
Oh, goodness.
But, wow.
But the whole, what I've told people, and tell me if you agree with me, and if you don't, that's, you know, tell me you don't agree, that's cool.
Yeah.
That in acting, that if somebody actually tries to act, literally as you would define what an actor is and what an actor does, you're not going to get, if you act to be a character, you're not going to get a callback. You know, it's not acting, it's interpreting of who the character is to the point where you're able to not only the segment of their life that you're portraying in the actual production, but their entire life. I mean, you can interpret who they are so vividly that you can almost remember them getting on, even though you're interpreting this character doesn't exist. You're interpreting their entire life, where you can almost go back into the memory of that character the first day they got on the school bus to go to kindergarten, how they were in elementary school, because you're interpreting the entire life of that character to the point where you can convincingly portray and jump off the screen as that character, not somebody who's acting, well, hello, Bill. That character. And do you think that would be a correct assessment? What makes a successful actor?
I absolutely agree with that, 100%. Personally, I've done a lot of character analysis work with my directors and producers of this show. A lot of the time, if I do get a role, I would sit down with the writer and I would type up, you know, like a character analysis, and kind of that helps me, at least personally, to just dig deep into the past, the present, and essentially what the character wants in the future and their objective throughout the story or throughout, you know. Yeah, so that's helped me a lot. I've always said when I, you know, go out into auditions or even when I get a role, that it definitely is about that interpretation of the character. So, you know, it's about how, if I were in this situation, you know, how would that make me feel? And yeah. like I said, it's using those raw emotions of just, you know, your day-to-day life of what would the average person do in this situation. So I definitely think it is about interpretation. That does help. I mean, there is such thing as overdoing it on, you know, as far as acting and auditioning and being in yeah. films. I mean, I'm sure we've all seen it, you know, somewhere in a movie or a TV show. You can just tell when it's not, you know, yes. true to the script, when an actor is yeah. not being true to the script. So, yeah, definitely.
You know, I've often thought, actually, that looking at actors and the many roles that they have to play, that it would make them one of the most compassionate people in humanity. And my reason for yeah. thinking behind that is because you are having to put yourself in other people's shoes all the time, consistently, mm-hmm. moving from one area to another, and the whole spectrum of life. And so in my eyes, I see actors in that sense, that they are compassionate and that they have the ability
oh, yeah.
to adapt to other people's feelings and thoughts. And so in my eyes, actors are great people because, you know, they're like... you know, that might sound like I'm, you know, just trying to sit here and praise you. And, you know, I think it's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my thoughts. I'd like to, I'm like Andy, I tend to think quite deeply about things. So, you know,
yeah, yeah.
seeing that in humanity and all the job roles that we can have in life, as Andy says, in the human experience. Or, no, was it mm-hmm. we call it, darling?
The human career.
That's it, the human career, yeah.
Interesting,
you know. Yeah, that because you're able to adapt that way and see people that way, mm-hmm. that I think it makes you more understanding of other people.
That is so funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please continue, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, so I was talking to a director I'm currently working with now, actually, and I had said something along those lines that being an actress has completely turned me into an empath. So
really?
Playing
wow.
all of, yes, oh yeah, 100%. So it's interesting you bring that up because I mean, I always wondered if I was alone thinking
oh.
this, because doing all these different roles and characters, you
yeah.
truly start to feel what they're going through. And
yeah.
it, I mean, I've had moments where, you know, I've walked off set and I still felt like I was that person. So
wow.
it's
yeah.
so interesting you say that, because it's like once you really dig deep into a character and you are just in it, then you truly start to feel like you are going through exactly what they're going through. And it kind of
yeah.
makes you more aware and sensible to just people and instances and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, we all know that Jim Carrey was in the headlines going back, and how
oh,
that one character he played really affected his life and wasn't
yeah.
able to separate himself from that. And that when I heard about that, I was like, wow, that's scary. But
mm-hmm.
I understood it because, like you, I don't want to say I have that ability. I won't say that about myself. What I will say is that I feel people on a certain level, and so I'm able
mm-hmm.
to, you know, take to what they're experiencing and understand these things on my own level that they seem
nice.
To connect with. So that's great. I can relate to everything that you're saying. So when that
yeah.
happened with Jim Carrey, I was like, you know, that it shook that fear in me. I was like, wow, that's incredible
mm-hmm.
to not be able to separate yourself. Do you find that in your career and having to do that you have to maybe do something to help you to separate yourself from the character you're trying to become?
Oh yes, absolutely, definitely. I've gone through training specifically, you know, at least just, you know, talking with my directors and producers on the kind of the art of learning to step back, you know, and realizing
yeah.
that once I am off set, it's okay to breathe and it's
yeah.
okay to snap out, and it's okay to just take a breath and realize that, you know, yes, I'm doing the work and it's great that I'm in it, of course, but I mean, I am Olivia, you know?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
are.
I do know actors that have actually had to, you know, go to therapy, and that does happen a lot in Hollywood, actors who have gone to therapy because of the films that they've worked on. And
yeah.
sometimes it does cause that, you know, emotional and mental stress, but
Yeah,
I mean, I know my limits for sure, and I definitely think that I still have some work to do, you know, as far as separating the, you know, professional acting and just, you know, who I am and, you know, once I step off set and all that. I dig so deep sometimes in the characters. So I become obsessed, but I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I came home one time and told my wife that I was going, you know, just like you, I told my wife I was going to seeing a psychiatrist. She said, that's okay, I'm seeing a psychiatrist, a butcher, and a plumber. So, where's Rodney when you need him? a character, you know, it's funny you say that, because I'm just kind of reaching back in my head here. I remember, I'm very modest. Like, have you ever done a romantic scene? Olivia, have you ever done like a scene where you had to kiss a guy or night?
Yeah, I have. Yes.
Well, in my life, I think it's my life as opposed to somebody else's. Yeah, it is mine. Let me check. Yeah, in my life. I just had a double check here. In my life, I'm very, very modest. Like my high school girlfriend who we date ended up going out for 4 years. We didn't kiss for 8 months. You know what I'm saying? So very modest guy here. To this day, you got to turn up the light. You know what I mean? So I got called to do this scene. I didn't even have to audition for it. You know, a director called and asked him how to do this scene where I was drinking heavily and, was a recreation of a scene, actually. And I was drinking heavily and I was sweating and coughing. And a girlfriend came into the room and she sees me laying there and she starts rubbing me all over and we start kissing and then we have sex and then we did the scene two ways. I die during sex and the other one is you wait a couple hours, I wake up, I look at her and I die then. So I didn't know this when the role, I had no idea. This is not me. No way. Yeah. No way. A billion years. Ain't going to happen. Wrong guy. I have a tough time doing that in real life, let alone in a movie. Okay, can we talk? So what happens is I didn't know this, and you know how sometimes you may have been, I want to call a victim of this, where you get a part, you're all excited about it, and they said they're going to send you the sides, and you know you don't have to be there for 4 or 5 days. They'll send you the sides. You have time to review what you're going to do, what the lines are, blah blah blah, what the sets are. And you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and it finally comes in like the night before. And you're like, come, you know, geez. Well, you know what I mean? So that was the case. So I had no idea that there was, you know, I saw this scene. It didn't really say anything about having or implying that there'd be any kind of sexual activity in this film involving me. Mm-hmm. So I get the sides the night before and I'm reading this. I'm reading what the words I have to say and what happens. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm not doing that. No fucking way. No. No way. And I was pacing back and forth. I was like, so, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. So I think, let me just show up. Let me just go. And I went over to the casting office here in LA when they're doing all this. And, walked in and director's there, producer, a couple people. And they said, so Andy, what is your, you know, thanks for coming in. We appreciate you doing this. It was kind of last minute notice. And thank you. But what is your assessment? What is your feel? What is your take on the relationship between the character and this woman? And I was like, I think it is so, and I don't know. I play the guitar. That's my real job. You know, what the hell do I know about? Anyway, so I said, I think it's so intense that you don't need dialogue. I mean, the intensity of the relationship just jumps and you don't need to say anything. It's just so there that the dialogue almost interferes with what's going on. And they looked at each other and they say, you know, yeah. Wow. And I said, as a matter of fact, you know, I think what we should do, I know I've got the sides, I know the lines and all that thing. I think you should do this two ways. Have an improv, like just do it, just what comes naturally, and then bam, second time around, let's do the lines. And they agreed. So they said, what are you doing for the rest of the day? Do you have any plan? And I'm like, no, not really. And they said, well, we're going to have you come back again and do a callback. But we actually have the women coming in today for their callback. We figured if you would just stay here, if you could, then we could just do the whole thing, you know, just figure out who this woman's going to be. And I'm like, Wait, you want me? You want me? What?
Oh,
how many
wow.
women are we talking about here? How many women? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I can't last all day here. You know.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But anyway, here's what here's my
yeah.
point. That it wasn't so horrible, but here's my point, that during this scene when you're doing it, that you dive so deeply into the character that everybody else in the room disappears. Your communication with that other character is not you. It is the character. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do, you know, it was a callback. It was like 13 or 14 different, you know, women who were coming in. And mm-hmm. and there was some that I favored personally because I am, you know, the character's name was Ben. I am Ben. And there's some women that I just, as Ben, thought would have been great to play the part. And they weren't coming out of it. They weren't, you know, you felt that they could do more. You're, come on, just jump out of yourself. And you try to communicate with another character as the character, not as Andy, is come on out, you're there, come mm-hmm. on out. And it doesn't happen. And then you're sitting here saying, okay, cut. How come they're not yelling cut? How come this isn't, you know, how long are we going to go here?
Wow.
How come? Yeah. Hey, stop this, you know? But that was just, and what I realized is that, you know, I died in this scene. And what I realized mm-hmm. is, you know, I almost had to slap myself in the face to say I really didn't die. This is okay. Wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. You know what I mean? It's that intense when you
yeah.
jump into
yeah.
a character. And I'm not an actor. I had no ambition mm-hmm. to be an actor. I play guitar and I do this
yeah.
show. So for me, it's like going to school and learning, you know, what it's like to do
yeah.
this. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Wow. That's incredible.
That definitely kind of, I mean, even teaches me that alone, that it's okay to just take risks. That's something I've learned throughout my acting career, that it's all right to take risks. And I mean, sometimes it's okay to just not play it too safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about the projects you're doing now. When you're kind of on a holding pattern right now.
Yes. So currently, yes. So we will be starting Mulatto this upcoming month, so in March. And then Recipes for Love, that first episode will be airing sometime soon once we figure out things with, you know, COVID and stuff. But
yeah.
it's all wrapped up and it is ready to go. So that's great.
Wow.
But yeah, so far we'll just be continuing filming Recipes for Love right now.
That's amazing.
Have you been out to L.A.?
Yeah. I have not. Not yet. Not
oh,
yet.
You got to get out here. You got to get out here.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's my dream to get out there. It is. It's my dream to get up to L.A.
There is so much work here that,
yeah.
I mean, there just really is. There's what, even, you know, during COVID, they have all these, they stopped everything for a while. They had a moratorium on any kind of production
right.
whatsoever. So, but they started easing it back in with COVID testing on the production pays for everything, obviously, but COVID testing
mm-hmm.
on set the day of, every day you go to set.
Yeah.
And a mask wearing and the whole thing. And you're starting to see a lot more production happening. Most work right now are good. I don't know about most. A great deal of work is happening
mm-hmm.
in Canada. It's happening in Canada.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of times when you see, like I live in an area where there's production, you walk around the corner and the whole street's blocked off with production sets and wardrobe and catering.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, for blocks,
amazing.
You know, huge semi-trucks and lights. And the other day I took a walk around the neighborhood. And they're shooting something that involved like a Dracula fog scene. It was all misty
Ooh,
and foggy.
Oh my goodness.
And the fog, and I was just taking a walk. It was a beautiful evening. I went out for a little stroll. And the fog is rolling onto the street in back of this spooky kind of English Tudor house. So I went up and of course peeked in. And you see all the little hoses along the ground that are spewing all this fog. And it looked like a Frankenstein movie. And I was getting into it, you know. You know, it was kind of cool to see.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was really
oh,
very,
that's
very
so
cool.
Neat.
But you see it all the time here. But what? And sometimes I'll ask, you know, a production person on set if I'm just walking around because they're all over the place here.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a pilot. A lot of pilots happening now, but A lot of commercials. I mean, there's a lot of commercial work.
Oh, is there?
And the money in commercials, because what they do, what the way it usually works is when you do a commercial, mm-hmm. as talent, you know, there's a 13-week mm-hmm. license that they have to use your voiceover or whatever it is, and then there's extra payments beyond that. And what they do quite often
right.
is we want to be able to use this piece, this footage or this voiceover reel, whenever and wherever we want to. So we're just going to buy it out. We're going to pay you $5,000 to use it whenever we want, plus an agent fee on top of that. So the work that you can get in commercials is incredible here.
Wow.
And there's agents that coast to coast that have offices. And you should contact them if you haven't already. They're in New York and LA.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Coast to Coast, and you can get in for a read. As a matter of fact, don't use my name, and you'll definitely get in. you'll go for a read, and I'm sure, Olivia, they're gonna, you know, this, mm-hmm. they're gonna very much like what you have to offer and what you've done and what you can do.
Thank you.
And
I'm
you're
really
in,
brilliant.
And once you. You know, once you get on with them, you'll be working a lot in commercials. And what some people say, oh, commercials, you know, commercials, oh, yeah, the pitch guy, the pitch girl, oh, yeah, you know, that's not acting.
Yeah.
When you think about it, an actor in a movie has 2 hours or more to develop mm-hmm. their character, to gain credibility and to gain belief and develop that character.
Right.
Somebody in a TV show has at least 13 episodes mm-hmm. to develop who
yeah.
that character is. To make you believe them in the audience that they are who they say you are. They are in a commercial. You have 30 or 60 seconds, even
right.
less if you cut out, yeah. right, to establish who you are, establish that you have a problem that they might have, that you have yeah. the solution to that problem, and at the end of you explaining the solution, they're going to rip out their wallets and buy it. You have 30 seconds to
mm-hmm.
do this. If that isn't
yeah.
a talent, holy crap, you know. So
there's
a lot to be said, yeah, for people who do commercials. I mean, it's,
wow.
you know,
yeah.
It's all right.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I have
yeah.
no doubt Olivia will be out there soon enough. Judging from everything that you've done so far, sweetheart, you're very, very talented. Very talented.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate
that. We definitely
that.
Like to see you out in L.A. working, Olivia. We got to get you out here for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Can one see the movies that you have done?
Yes. So I know Hollywood is available. So it is streaming on a couple different platforms. I know that you can find it on Redbox. So it's on the IMDb movie list section. You can find it on Amazon. And I believe, yep, you can rent it for, I think, $10 or so on YouTube. You can find
Ooh.
Them there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. People
yeah.
need to check that out. Check those movies out.
Watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you got... Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
I was going to say, are you involved in the New York scene at all? Do you get up to New York to do any auditions or shows up there of any kind?
I have not been to New York, no. So I haven't done any production there
mm-hmm.
yet, like I always say. I know
yeah,
I
yeah.
will. But yeah, so right now I'm mainly just Philadelphia-based, so that's where a lot of my work is in. So I do have one movie that I will be working on with Joshua Coates, but that's
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta, Georgia. So that's going to
mm-hmm.
be out there, which is really neat. But yeah, New York, not yet. I'll get there.
Oh, do you have a website, or if anybody wanted to get some additional information on what you do and your background, is there any kind of a Facebook or?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah, so I do have an IMDb, so you can search that up. It's just under my name, Olivia Basket, Baskets with two T's. and you can see all of my work there. You can keep up with my photos, my upcoming work, my past work, and all my current work.
Wonderful.
Well, fabulous. You know, I have to...
I have to go out, and I will not be back until after sundown tomorrow.
Okay.
but I'll be back. I don't think I won't be back, but
we hey, love to clown around. I love those clips. They just make me.
No, I love it.
It keeps things interesting, right, Andy?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah,
Shut
yeah.
up and drink your gin.
Yeah. And that's it.
This is Friday. Hey, Olivia, sorry, what's your preferred beverage?
My preferred beverage. I do like to drink bubble tea. I love bubble tea, and I do like coffee.
Ooh,
but water is always good too. But I do like bubble tea and coffee. They're both kind of fun drinks that you can add different varieties of flavors and all that too.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sat with a glass of water, even though it's a Friday night for me. Sad to say, but I'm enjoying my water. I try to stay healthy.
Yeah. 2021, right? Drink some water.
I know, right? It's got to be done.
Olivia, we're going to keep an eye on you sound terrific. It would be great to see you out here sooner than later.
Thank you.
How are the vaccines going where you are on the East Coast there? Are they distributing them? Have you been vaccinated or anybody you know been vaccinated there? How's that going for the COVID?
Yeah, so a couple people I know have been vaccinated. I hear with all the statistics that it has been helping. Our COVID rates, at least over here in Pennsylvania, they've been decreasing, which is amazing. But so far, we're just going to it's just a time-wise thing, I think, and people are still, getting vaccinated, so it's a matter of time, I think, before, it kind of goes away and everybody can just move on in the world. At least I have high hopes for that. I do.
Yeah,
because I'm really, I'm like...
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
Yes.
We'll let you off.
Yes, truly. So it's great having you on the show, Olivia, and we want to thank you for joining us here today. And again, I want to remind our audience, we do, Olivia, as we speak here live, we have listeners mm-hmm. around the world chiming in.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
If anybody who can, North America wants to call in, ask any questions, we'll give out mm-hmm. the number now. It's 515-605-9888. Gets you into our studio here on the Coast to Coast Show, the Andy and Amanda program here on the Free Flow and Freaky Friday. I did it right.
You did it.
Yeah, where are my applause? Come on, crowd. Where are you?
I know. Right?
No respect. You know what I'm saying?
Andy is rooting for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
You on
thank
over
you.
Here, Andy.
It ain't easy beating me. You know what I mean?
I feel your pain, darling. I feel your pain.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. See, Amanda's one of the few people in the world, maybe the only person in the world who really, I feel, appreciates me because, not much respect anywhere else.
That's very sweet, Andy. I try. I do my best, I mean, you're adorable.
You're adorable, too.
Am I interrupting something?
I'm sorry. Olivia. Let's hand Olivia a bucket or a brown paper bag so she can just, turn the other direction and vomit,
And then, what they say, and later
I have
on,
no further use for you.
Yes.
Wait, is that me or you?
No, me. Story of my life.
No. Aww. Don't believe that.
Olivia, do you have a significant other?
I do not. I am very happily single right now.
Do that, men?
But.
Do that? We have this rising star, talented actor in Pennsylvania. She's absolutely, and she is marvelous. Let me see her.
She's beautiful.
Let me tell you, my daughter.
Very beautiful.
Andy's matchmaking for me.
It doesn't matter how you feel. It's how you rock. You know what I'm saying?
But she did say she's happily single, so,
I don't blame her.
Let's not force a crowd onto her, bless her.
No. But listen, if you want us to match make for it, you know who to call. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, now I know. Yeah. If anybody's still listening in to DM me through Instagram,
Yeah, we could start up a whole new show with that, you know, on a specific day, the Andy Amanda matchmaking show.
We thought about
that. I would love that.
Really?
That would be
really
great.
Wow. Hey, we had this idea. You know, we were going to do the Andy and Amanda Love show and give Amanda Love, because, and we're going to give, because we're going to give all this advice about relationships and sex and
well,
life and and because we don't know anything about that stuff, so we thought we'd be perfect.
Well,
oh,
I want to
be that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The average
yes.
shows, you know, just giving advice from our perspective would be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah,
I met
be funny.
One girl who was very attracted to, and I think, you know, I was going to see if she would, you know, because it would be good to get an expert on the show and to join us in that. You know, somebody who's like a therapist of some sort, and then I was told that
she is not the one.
So, and Amanda, yeah, and Amanda is the one, so it would be like the Amanda Love show.
Oh, thank you.
I just sound that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't know what to say.
Are you blushing? I feel
Oh my goodness. You both at that same time. That's actually made me blush now. Yes, I am blushing.
But yeah, we thought about, you know, let's have some fun. Let's start another show. And or maybe like, you know, maybe once a week come on and do like a conversation about relationships and typical and conflicts that one has with their significant other, and how ways to resolve conflict and what it means to be in conversation that lands as opposed to conversation that is heard. And there's a distinction between, and we talked about that on the show. We've dived into that. You know, we talked about, you know, where, you know, wisdom and where that comes from in conversation. And is it, when you say something, does somebody hear it or does somebody feel it? When you play music, is it heard through your ears or felt in your heart? And how do you dive into that? And how can you, you know, if somebody has conflict and disagreements and a relationship that they want to go well, but it isn't going well.
Yeah.
But you're communicating within that relationship, and the relationship can't be the relationship without you being in it. So therefore, you're as accountable for that and how things land as the other person in it, because you can't you can't exist as one. Even if you were only one on the whole planet, you can't exist as one because you're standing on something, and therefore you're automatically two. You're related to something. You might be related to a person, but you're related to something. So there's always relatedness in life, and if somebody would associate themselves with the relationship, with the relatedness, and how things land and how things are heard, how much more empowering that might be in the relationship between the people involved. Anyway, moving right along. Thank you.
We do like to get these. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I hope you're enjoying yourself, Olivia, because, you know, I would hate to think that at this point you're like, really? She's cringing now.
No.
Olivia's
just
thinking, what did I get
here.
Myself into? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I genuinely enjoy talking with you guys. I love this. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. It's been a lot of fun. It really has.
Absolutely. And we're going to keep an eye on you, looking ahead and listen, let us know when you're back in production. Things are looking, you know, forward again there. And hopefully we're on the other side of this now, COVID, I think, seemingly so. We're going to go over the numbers and so forth. We'll talk about that in the news later on in the show. But it looks like we are on the other side of it now, and things are getting better. And if Hollywood is any reflection on what's going to happen in the industry, you know, elsewhere in the country, then we should start seeing things materialize and get back to swing again to whatever extent. And we wish you all the very, very best moving
Thank
ahead.
You.
Absolutely. It'd be wonderful
Thank
to have you,
so you
back
much.
On the show further in the future to see how you're doing and progressing and share with everybody how life is going for yourself. That would be wonderful.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. Thank you so much for being here. It's been
That's
a blast.
Great.
I've enjoyed myself getting to know you and your career, and
you
I'm sure
well.
All our guests have enjoyed themselves, hopefully.
Hope so, yeah.
and we need to make sure that you know before you leave that just to where you are and where you're not. Wait a minute.
This is not Kleinenberg.
Just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want you to know that, you know, just in case there's any question at all in your mind. You know what I'm saying?
Those are great.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, bless you, darling.
All right, Olivia, thanks for joining us all here
Thank
on
you.
The Freaky Friday Show on the Andy Maynard Program. We'll stay in touch and look forward to hearing from you again soon. All the very best to you, kiddo. Take care.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetheart. Take care.
Bye.
That was Olivia Baskett, an actor on the East Coast, joining us here on the Andy and Amanda Show. Yes.
What a beautiful person she is. So bubbly and you know, she's got that beautiful energy. I loved hearing about what she's filming and what's going on with her career and everything. I find it so fascinating to hear each person's perspective of how they approach the industry and, you know, their own methods for the roles that they play. And it's just fascinating stuff, Andy. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Really, really is. And she, you know, given the, you know her you know, emerging, you know, budding career, it seems like she's been doing, you know, pretty well there, having done some movies and involved in a couple of projects now, and it's great to see. Really, really is, and I'm sure,
yeah.
You know, you can tell by her energy and her experience that she's really mastering her craft. Has a lot of talent, a lot of capability, and we'll keep an eye on her for sure as her career moves ahead, and hope that she'll be joining us again when things open up there. As we said earlier,
yeah,
definitely keep an eye on her.
Definitely. Absolutely
yes.
Amazing. It's been so much fun having her on the show.
You bet. You bet.
So
you bet.
Are we digging into those COVID numbers?
I think so. What do you you know, first of all, things are
yes.
much better than they have been. I want to optimistically and encouraging, you know, it's been
yeah.
You know, we've reported numbers where we're seeing 4,500, you know, people die in a day, you know.
Yeah.
And we went over those numbers horrifically, and now we're looking at today in the United States so far as of this time, actually as of 20 minutes ago, we're looking at 1,109 new deaths today.
Yeah.
And again, and that's horrific. It still is horrific, but compared
yeah.
to twice and more than twice that just a few months ago, then we're looking at this thing hopefully being tamed. Hopefully.
Yeah.
In the UK, 236 deaths today, new cases in the UK, 124,261.
Yeah.
Excuse me, total, wrong number, wrong column, I'm sorry. New cases is 124,000. Things are getting great. They're getting so much better. They're
oh
getting
God,
so much
you know,
better.
I didn't even twig, Andy. I didn't even twig when you said that.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't
That'd
either.
Like,
I'm just reading the number.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, new cases in the UK today. 124,000 of them. Yeah, that's all.
I apologize.
Much better.
Wow.
Much better. Yeah.
Where was
new cases in the UK is 5,947, 41,000 cases in the USA. Total cases in the USA to date since last March is 29,567,000. And in the UK, it's 4,207,000 total cases. The total deaths in the UK is 124,000. That's what I was reading before. And 534,000 cases in the USA. About 8% of the population in the United States have been vaccinated. And that I'm included in that 8%. I've got two vaccines behind me, and as does the members of my family. So it's, you know, we're looking at, it's funny because I was in an elevator just a few days ago with the woman who was getting in, and we started, you know, both wearing masks, and we started talking and about, you know, what things being over and blah, blah, wearing masks. I said, oh, I've got the vaccines, you know, behind me. She said, I've had two vaccines behind me too. She said, let's take off the mask. Yeah. And we took off our masks, and that's what it's going to be like when this more people get vaccinated. Now we have the release this week. Immediately after the approval of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it ended up in people's arms this week. It's a one dose deal, and so that is now you know, playing a part in the remediation of the coronavirus. President Biden has said that by the end of June there will be 50 million vaccines. 50 million.
Wow.
50 million
by
the end of June. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
My family
are still waiting to be vaccinated because of health conditions within certain members of the family. We were expecting the vaccinations sooner, but so it appears slow on that surface, whereas, you know, you've heard about the government moving into the next stage, you know, the next I don't know if you want to call it tier or level of emergency for people to have the vaccine, you know, based on health conditions and things like that. So my dear mother should be vaccinated very soon. She's got to book her appointment. She had a letter through the post to say, yeah, you know, book it for these dates. Unfortunately, when she tried to book, they were filled up very, very quickly, but we managed to see if we can get one done at a doctor's surgery. Things are looking good on that front, you know, that hopefully they'll get vaccinated very soon. I will be one of the last people to be vaccinated here in this country, one because of my age and health condition. I'll be watching everybody else and stood on the sidelines cheering you all on until, you know, it's my turn.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a very...
Yeah.
A good friend of mine who's has some health issues is standing by too, and she's not any day looking forward to getting vaccinated. And she's same. I heard the same thing from this woman just a day or two ago as well, is that because of different environmental factors in her own life, she's got to hang in there and be one of the last people, you know, if she does at all. I remember you and I talked about a few months ago when they first announced taking the vaccine that you and I felt the same way, that I'm not jumping this anytime soon. No way, because we don't know what the long-lasting effects are going to be or how this is going to manifest itself into your biology 5 years from now, you know.
Yes.
But
I know that feeling seems to have passed fairly quickly, Andy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, hey, I got two. And I had zero reaction whatsoever. My good friend Michael Tierson, who brought rock and roll radio to Philadelphia on FM, and we're gonna have Michael on the show. He's a very, very well known. He's got a show that people should tune into. It's called Radio That Doesn't Suck. Look for it on the internet. He's got a great program. Michael Tierson is his name. He's it's a cool program. Radio That Doesn't Suck. Look for it on Google. You'll hear Michael. That's Michael Tierson's show. And I remember, God, you know, just real quick, I, you know, grew up to hearing Michael Tierson on WMMR when I was in high school. And he was the first, you know, before that, AM radio was, this is Heidi, and here's the Beach Boys, Rolling Stone, you know, fast talk, you know, reverb, blah. And then FM radio come along and said, next we're going to have Crosby, Stills, and Nash with Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, you know, more like, you know.
Yeah.
No, here's a song by Paul Revere and the Raiders. You know, but anyway, so Michael Tierson was, I think, the pioneer, really, one of the first, if not the first, him and a guy named Ed Shockey, I remember, in Philadelphia radio that really pioneered what is now, you know, FM radio in terms of contemporary music. Anyway, so I grew up listening to him in high school. And a girlfriend and I, you know, listening to Michael Tierson all the time. Fast forward, I become a musician, and one day Michael Tierson is introducing me on a big stage.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I thought that was the end. I quit, you know, because this guy is an icon, you know. And then we became good friends, and he's a good friend now, and he's a great guy. And he's got a program that's called Radio That Doesn't Suck, and I want everybody to tune into that show. He is getting his second vaccination today, and then I told we're going to see how he does, and then we're going to bring him on the show next week to talk about radio and the history of rock and roll radio in Philadelphia. He's a great guy, he's a great conversation, and Michael's going to be joining us. I'm not sure what day yet. We're going to orchestrate that, but probably either a week from today, maybe we'll get Michael Tiersen on this show.
It's going to be great.
Look forward to that. Yeah. Where you are? What's the popular stations where you are?
BBC is one of the biggest radio stations here. So many people tune in because they've got various types of radio stations, BBC, covering everything from just talking to... and they got sport and all the mainstream music with Radio 1. And then you've got all the other bigger, not bigger than BBC, but bigger stations than your average, smaller ones, like Heart. And it's been so long since I've actually listened to a radio station. Because I've been without a car for quite a while now. I literally walk everywhere. So when I was in the car, I always used to listen to the radio or sometimes my MP3s or whatever and, listen away. But it's been such a long time since I listened to the radio. I used to listen to Heart or, real local-based radio stations to support them. But it was mainly BBC because they did, with Radio 1, they did all their mainstream music and they had great interviews and live sessions and... it's always a good radio station. So hats off to them for what they achieve with everything that they do. I can't really think of more off the top of my head right now, Andy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I listen to classical music here on the radio most of the time, or jazz. We have KUSC here. It's a classical, and I forget what K Jazz, I think it is. It's a jazz station. They have a great blues show Saturday and Sunday here in LA, folks.
Love it.
And I enjoy listening to classical music. I really do.
Me too.
Wow, God, Amanda, we have so much in common.
I know. Who would have thought?
Amazing. And we've never met. Just think.
I know.
But we should think about wrapping this whole week up of the Andy and Amanda show. It's been a wonderful conversation. It's been wonderful having Olivia Basket on. We'll see everybody next week on Monday for another surprise and another great week. Maybe we'll reach out again and talk to former President Richard Nixon. But Amanda, why don't you take us home, folks? Thanks so much for joining the Andy and Amanda show and let Amanda do her thing.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so from Andy Kimball in Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love in the UK, and thank you again to our beautiful guest, Olivia Basket, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show. Stay safe, keep smiling, and have a wonderful weekend. And we hope you join us on Monday for the next show.
We'll see everybody. Take care, and thanks again to Cornell Butler. Have a good weekend, folks.
Absolutely.